All right, I'd like to welcome everyone and say good morning. My name is Mighty Fine. I'm a public health analyst at the American Public Health Association, and I also work with the some of the people that will be presenting today. So I just wanted to give you a little background about the Public Health Traffic Safety Institute. It's a cooperative agreement between APHA and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. And we send out a proposal on an annual basis to public health, traffic safety, and injury prevention specialists. And the idea here is for there to be a forum of exchange of ideas, and we're attacking the issues with team driving specifically for this go-round from a multi-dimensional and collaborative standpoint. And today we'll have presentations from three of our four teams: Ohio, who did teen seatbelt use; Kansas, who will tell us about their involvement in the Institute; and also North Dakota. So I'll allow the presenters to tell us a little bit more about themselves as they come up here, and we'll start with Ohio, then we'll move into North Dakota, and we'll finish up with Kansas. So Ohio, welcome.
Empowering them to go out and make the changes in their high school. The other project was the Midfield High School Safety Belt Incentive Program, which was in 1992. Again, it used the teens, but it wasn't like the main focus, giving them the empowerment and leadership in the program. And they also saw safety belt use rates increase, but they were also like in the 26% to 38% range of safety belt use. So again, it was lower. So what we are doing is a little bit different now that it's 15 years later. Safety belt use rates are a little bit higher. It's a little bit more difficult to increase those rates because more students are wearing them, and then the ones that aren't wearing them are doing so for different reasons than what they were before. There's also a lot of information out there about graduated driver's licensing studies, how effective they have been. But again, that's not what we're focusing on. Focusing on increasing safety belt use. So the literature is a little lacking, and what we're hoping to do is to contribute to the literature once we're done with this project.
Okay. Next one's me.
Okay, so just to get into a little bit of background about what we chose to do for the Institute this past year, we were given three focus areas. That was to increase safety belt use, increase knowledge on graduated driver's licensing, the law and complying with that, and then decrease access to alcohol, which obviously then affects risky behaviors in driving. And we formed a collaborative effort. I led the grant from Columbus Public Health, brought Amy on from Grant Thomas Center. She formerly worked on Safe Communities Project with me, and then we involved our two high schools. We found that focusing on three areas with the students became very overwhelming. So sort of as the course of the program went on, our focus sort of narrowed in to having a primary focus on safety belt use and increasing that. Our time frame was, the Institute runs, it starts this weekend at the APHA conference, and then it goes for a year. So our time frame was, we started immediately when we got back in November, started planning the things with the students and with our liaisons at the high schools, and then we moved on and we wrapped the program up at the end of May, at the end of the school year, and our evaluation and analysis followed that.
Oops.
Oh, you went backwards.
There we go.
Okay, so we formed some additional goals for ourselves working on this project, and they were to determine what is effective when working with teens. We have a lot of experience doing programming with teens and all kinds of different ways of getting them engaged, but we really didn't have a lot of evidence on whether it was effective outside of doing our pre and post safety belt observations. So we'd also never really looked at the attitudes and beliefs of students and compared them to self-reported behaviors. So that was something new we wanted to do because we felt that this could help us tailor future programming. And then we wanted to increase safety belt use by a statistically significant amount. We had done all these pre and post surveys before with teens, but we'd never really checked, done a full kind of analysis on the data and really looked at whether those were just normal variances or whether they were actually statistically significant. So the study design, we wanted to have program evaluation. Our premise was that peer modeling and student-led programming would be more effective, and that if it were an ongoing program, we would see more changes over time. Amy had mentioned earlier that the one-shot programs, they don't change much. Kids might, after a month crash, think about it for a weekend, think about it for a week, but their mind's on something else after that. But if you have consistent and constant messaging that's fun and that comes from their peers, they're more likely, or our theory was that they were more likely to pay attention to those actions and to actually change their behavior. We chose two Franklin County high schools, an intervention and a control. And just to give you a little bit of background, we chose these schools because they had diversity. They modeled the general population. One was from the west side of town, one was from the south side of town, and those tend to be our lower safety belt usage areas when we look at overall Franklin County safety belt use surveys. Our control high school was an urban district with approximately 1,900 students. About 65% were white, 28% were black. The intervention high school was an urban district with about 1,200 students. About 70% were white and 24% were black. So the control high school, all they did was just pre and post surveys. The intervention school did pre-surveys, post-surveys, and then they had all kinds of activities and involvement with the student council, which we'll get a little more into what we did with them. So just to explain what exactly the pre- and post-surveys consisted of, we had the observational safety belt surveys were conducted by students They observed for 45 minutes before school started, getting all drivers and passengers coming into the school. They had two entrances, so they were also getting teachers that were coming in. We included teachers and obviously the parents who dropped students off. We did not look at buses, bus drivers, any kind of commercial vehicle that came into the school at that time. But we also had students complete a written survey, which Amy and I learned a little bit of a lesson, which we'll get a little into later about evaluation. We had them answer this incredibly long pre and post survey. And what we did with that was we asked all of the teachers to have the students fill this survey out in the homeroom. And so when we got all those surveys back, we had at least 50% return rate on it, which was very high. We had a predetermined representative sample. We needed about 300 from each school to make a representative sample of the school. We went through, we separated them into male, female, randomly selected from the surveys that were returned, so we had 300, 150 male, 150 female. And then the pre-surveys were done before any kind of activity started at the school, and the post-surveys were done after the very last activity had concluded in May.
Okay, at the intervention high school, the first thing that we did was to do a group training. At the intervention high school, we worked with the student council, and they were doing the activities throughout the entire year. But before we started doing the activities, we wanted to give them the knowledge and to empower them to be able to go out and change the behaviors of their peers. So on a Saturday afternoon, we got about 15 student council members, which is about half the other students had a band commitment. But they were very excited to be there on a Saturday afternoon at Donato's Pizza. We talked about traffic safety education, why it's so important to wear a safety belt, how it's going to protect you if you're ever in a crash. Also, not just about wearing it in the front seat, but also how important it is to wear it in the back seat. We talked about effective communication strategies, how to talk to your peers, you know, what's going to make them listen, how to be a peer leader, social norms, and we also pilot tested the written survey. And at the time, this 90-question survey that we had, the students at the training said, oh, this is fine. And it really wasn't. And that's what we learned. And I think what part of the problem was that we were looking at three different focus areas, safety belts, access to alcohol, and graduated driver's licensing. So that's a lot to get into one survey, to get it on a front and a back, or just a front. That was just too many areas to focus on. So in the future, if we would do this again, we would definitely cut down to these front side only, and just focus on one topic area. So after the training of the student council, they came up with a campaign image to basically promote the program throughout the entire rest of the year. And they came up with their own campaign slogan, Real Falcons Buckle Up. They were the Falcons of the school. And then they also came up with two superheroes that they used throughout the entire school year, Traffic Teen and Safety Belt Boy. That's a picture of them in the bottom, and that's with their school resource officer. They went out to the local junkyard and got safety belts out of vehicles so they could wear them across their body. They were really excited about doing this. They were in public service announcements. They were at the activities that we did just to draw attention to what we were doing. So these are some of the activities that we did at the high school. So we started in about January with doing the activities. The intervention or the student training happened in December. We kicked off the activities in January and they went through until May until we did the post survey. So we did a lunch activity with the Safety Belt Boy and Traffic Team, which is the bottom right hand picture. We passed out some free gum that we had with their slogan on it, Real Falcons Buckle Up. Just kind of talked to the teens about why it's important to wear their seatbelt, passed out some literature. Basically just made ourselves known and made the project known. We painted a mural, which is on the top right hand corner. We wanted something permanent to be in the school so it can be remembered for this year and then years to come. So Real Falcons Buckle Up and then the picture of the slogan. We did a prom assembly, talked to all the juniors and seniors about safety belt use. At this particular high school, they do a thing called Quest Games, which is a competition between all the different grade levels, and they incorporated safety belt use into Quest Games. The picture on the left-hand side is a picture of a vehicle seat, and part of one of the obstacle courses they had students unbuckling and buckling themselves up to show how quick they can actually buckle themselves in. We did classroom presentations with health classes. We sent a parent postcard home to all the parents to let them know what was going on in the school so the parents could actually talk to the teens about why it's so important to buckle up and to be more aware of the licensing laws and access to alcohol. We did a newsletter article announcement throughout the Now, I want to let you know that all of these activities that we did were student-led. We were there just to provide resources.
Except for the parent stuff. We initiated the contact with parents.
Yes.
That was, yeah.
But the activities at the high school, that was all student-led. They were planning them. They were doing them. They did most of the work. We were just there to be a resource for them. So we really wanted them to leave, be empowered to go out there and change their behavior. That's pretty much what happened. So
we have a question over here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Did the school resource officer help you recruit these teams, or did the teams just step up to the plate?
This was student council.
Okay.
So we have worked with this particular student council in the past with doing some similar things, but on a much, much smaller scale. So we already had a contact with her. So this is a student council group that kind of stepped up to the plate, and we're very excited about working together. So it wasn't just random students stepping up to the plate at that high school. So these are some of the incentives that we were able to purchase with the money that we got from Public Health Traffic Safety Institute. And I think it made a huge, huge difference. We made them part of the activities that we did. The students wanted t-shirts they could promote what they were doing throughout the school year. And that's one of them, Real Falcons Buckle Up, and then had the high school logo on the front. If you were thinking about doing this, we bought this with the grant money, but they're only about $6 each. You can get a business to maybe sponsor them, they can put their logos on the back. And the kids also wanted to maybe sell them for a fundraiser. They were $6, they could sell them for $8, make a little bit of money on them. So, any questions?
And just with respect to, just to put this in the context for myself, is wearing a seatbelt the law where you are?
No. Yes, secondary law in Ohio.
So what does that mean, secondary law?
Secondary law means that a police officer cannot pull you over for not wearing your seatbelt.
They have to have another offense first.
Well, if for under 18, it is a law if they're,
for up to 16-year-olds, it's any position that you get called.
But if they're part of the graduated driver's licensing law,
right,
then they have to have you both in the car. But it's not enforced. And some of those things are also secondary.
Yeah. It's like very complicated, not well written.
Possibly
when I come to law enforcement.
Yeah, room for improvement.
Did you obtain IRB approval?
Yes. We did obtain IRB approval before we did anything through my hospital. So we do plan to publish this at the end. Yeah.
And did you have parent permission for the students to fill out the survey?
Did not.
Our process, yes, said that was not necessary.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did the school need to come get the IRB approval as well? Did they have their own?
They had.
Yeah.
We do not go through the school at all for the IRB. We just went through our. We worked with the principal. He was very well aware of what was going on, but we didn't go through the school IRB process at all. So, any other questions?
I'm going to just pat. This is some of the incentives that we use throughout. That's anything in this bag you're welcome to take for yourself and take back.
The air fresheners were a huge, huge hit, and I want to let you know that the school store was interested in purchasing the air fresheners and then selling them. So it's not a huge revenue incentive, but if the school store is interested, they can purchase these and then sell them. The students were extremely excited about the air fresheners. So. We also had pens, gums, and some other random things. And we also always provided food for student council whenever we met for them, whether it was just cookies or sometimes it was pizza. That definitely helped keep them interested and excited about working together.
Okay, so now we get into the big evaluation part, the overwhelming part of the project. At our intervention high school, what we did see is we saw a 15% increase in safety belt use, which was statistically significant. They had gone from 58, just over 58% usage to 20%. We might have that written up there.
Might be a typo. It's really 15%.
Our control high school, it did a decrease of 3% that did not come out to be statistically significant. That just became out to be a normal variance. To put this a little bit perspective with what we see in Ohio, the last 2007 rate for Ohio's overall usage rate is 82%. But in the Safe Communities program, we do safety belts twice a year in June and September, and to get a rate for Franklin County, and our last usage rate was only 70%. So Franklin County is significantly lower than the overall state rate. And then just to point out something about our control school, why they might have had some higher usage rates, they've been a part of our grant, mini grant program through the Safe Communities Program the last several years. So when we initially started out there, they had a high rate, and which we would like to think is because of previous interventions.
Franklin Heights has been part of that program
that
too, though.
Done, yeah, which wouldn't, and Franklin Heights had been a part of it the year before as well, but apparently they didn't pay to us as well as our control high school did. So some things we learned from our written survey results, we asked for the top reasons why students, when we were doing the analysis, we wanted to say what were the top reasons why students wear their safety belts. So the top 10 reasons that were kids answered that they strongly agree for why they wear their safety belts was because they want to be safe, because they don't want to get a ticket, because my parents expect me to, and because it's a habit. So those were the reasons why students claim, self-reporting why they wear their safety belt. They agreed or strongly agreed to those questions the most in the survey. The top reasons for not wearing a safety belt were that they're sitting in the back seat, they forget to put it on, they're traveling a short distance, it's uncomfortable, or they think the person that they're driving with is safe, which doesn't really matter, we all know that. But they think that as long as the person they're with is safe, they don't care about anyone outside themselves or their car. So we really thought that this was telling for us because it actually mimics some things that we see a lot in when we're doing, I'm one of those people out there doing the safety belt observations. We see the driver's buckled up, but the passenger isn't. They're in the back seat. People just, you know, for some reason it's that back seat and that passenger. It doesn't matter what the driver's doing. A lot of times that, you know, so we really saw that this was some things that we could utilize for future programming, to tailor future programming, getting our messages out better about not only just the driver being buckled up, but having the passengers and especially people in the back seat buckled up as well.
Did you have a question?
Yeah,
I do. I'm sorry. You had mentioned you want 100 students in the control school.
Yeah.
Was that intervention? Was it all 100?
Yeah. I'm sorry?
What's your actual end? Was it all 100?
Participating in the survey, we had about a 50% return rate on our survey.
But within that, we only needed 300 students from that school, so 300 would have been our N.
Okay, so we wanted to know what were the statistically significant questions on our survey. And so when we looked between the pre and the post, we were comparing what did we get answers back that was statistically significant. So we had more students agreeing to the fact that I wear my safety belt, to the statement, I wear my safety belt because my teachers at school encourage me to. Which we thought this was really great because the teachers were working with us to help. And so if the message wasn't coming from their teachers before and now it's coming from their teachers at the end, then they're saying that one, they're actually influenced by what their teachers say, and two, that it meant that having the teachers in on the program with us was a good thing. More students strongly agree to the statement, I wear my safety belt because I want to be safe. So this, we think, is telling us that they learned from our message that not wearing it is dangerous. More students disagree that the person driving is to the statement the person driving is a safe driver. So that they've actually understood that it doesn't matter if people in their own car are being safe, that they're at risk from people around them. More students stated that they always wear their safety belt as a driver, and then more students stated that they almost always wear their safety belt when they're, or the passengers in their vehicle must be wearing their safety belt.
Okay, so we wanted to also talk to the student group that we worked with, the student council, to see what they thought of working with us on this type of program. And overall, they thought it was a great program. They thought it needed to start earlier in the school year since we started in January, kind of missed the whole first half of the school year, so starting earlier in the future. They thought it was good that they had a slogan, and it was cheesy, but it stuck in your head, something that they could always go back to, real confidence, buckle up. They liked having the, they called them the superheroes, traffic team and safety belt boy. They liked having that so they could have an image. We talked about doing a lot more things with them, like doing posters and all kinds of things, but it just we didn't have enough time, really. They liked all the incentives. They thought those were good. They wanted to have constant reminders. They thought that's what it took, constant reminders over and over and over again.
throughout the entire school year. They wanted to make it more normal to buckle up and warn people about the lamp. So then maybe when the students come into the school grounds, here you go, here's a coupon for Burger King, thank you for buckling up, something like that. So overall, they said they enjoyed working on the product and they felt like they made a difference. So why do we think it worked? We think it worked because it was student-led, like we've been talking about. It was ongoing, constant reminders over and over and over again. Incentives, that was definitely helped. And even though we had this grant, I think we could have went out into the community and found some funding for this. And staff support, it was essential to have principal on board, student council advisor, and everybody else on board. But we definitely learned some lessons doing this that we will be taking into mind for future projects. More effective to focus just on one topic. So we just kind of took on safety books as our one topic. We still did graduate driver's licensing and the health class presentations and that kind of thing, but it wasn't becoming one of the prominent topics. Access to parents, we wanted to involve parents more in this process, but we found that it was very difficult to involve parents. Maybe it's just a particular school that we worked with, but just getting access to parents was difficult.
And that taking enough time to spend with the students on top of, you know, getting together something that would involve parents as well was also, it would have been very time consuming, and we were pouring so much time into working with the students that just sort of
starting early in the school year, like we already talked about, having a shorter written survey, like we already talked about. Supervision of the students doing seatbelt surveys. We wanted the students to be empowered to lead this program, so we had them do the seatbelt surveys, but looking back, we think we should have been there with them. Either the student, the teacher might have been there, or Ann and I were doing another location. We think maybe we should have been there with them. We gave them training, we showed them how to use the form, we gave them all the instructions, but we think in the future we would be there with them. The students wanted more communication. We sent them emails, we met with them probably once a month on average, sometimes a little bit more, but they said they still wanted more communication with us. So that's something to look at for the future. School-wide staff involvement, we did involve some staff, but we also thought there was potential for like doing things with science classes and math classes on physics and seatbelt use. So that's something in the future we would look into doing. And we also found out at the end of the school year, students are busy. They want to be out of school, they have prom to think about, graduation to think about, and they're checking out. So starting a little bit earlier, maybe we can end a little bit earlier and not have to deal with them checking out at the end of the school year. So they're kind of burnt out at the end. So.
Did you have any other issues just in working with the school, any issues that arose with just being in a school, implementing a program within a school that has certain constraints legally and obligations to students?
Right. We did have some issues.
Yeah.
For instance, we weren't able to meet during the school day. The teachers couldn't take out class time.
That's what they really wanted. They felt like, because some of these kids that are in student council, they would always say, these are the good kids. These are the kids that are involved in 12 different things. And so having this, all these meetings, you know, it was difficult. Sometimes they could be there, sometimes they couldn't. So they said, maybe come during a lunch period. And that's great for us because, you know, we work during the day, that's no problem. But if they had to have an advisor there with them, and we would have, out of the grant, had to have paid, reimbursed the district sub time for them to pay a sub to cover our class. And we tried, we just realized that would have just been way too complicated.
And then also coming over lunch, the students had three different lunch periods. We would have, you know, a little group here, a little group there, a little group there, so we wouldn't have a big group meeting. So we did find some trouble trying to meet with the students. So even if we had an after school, they had band, they had athletics, so we weren't always getting the same students. So yeah, there were some issues with that.
I have two questions. Did the students help you develop your survey instrument? And the second question is, did the students earn community service hours for participating?
For the first question, the survey, we developed it and then we pilot tested it at the student training to see what they thought. And we did change some of the questions based on their feedback. They didn't help us in the early development of it. We searched for a survey tool and weren't able to find one that had been validated or anything like that. So we just developed our own. And then your second question,
did you use service hours to the students?
I don't think they needed them at this high school.
That was never brought up with us that they asked to get any kind of credit for doing this. This was just the good kids of the school.
Any other questions? Okay. And just to finish up for future, we do prepare to, or plan to prepare a manuscript and hopefully get it published. Continue working with the intervention school. We'd also like to involve additional high schools and kind of simulate what we did at this high school and write a manual for high schools that can be distributed throughout the state of Ohio.